The title today for the message I took from communion and what Jesus did when he instituted the first communion, and that was that he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. We, as the people of Christ, the people of God, are to realize that we too are blessed, we're to be broken, and we are given. But we have a responsibility in being given. And so I want to look at that a little bit today. Lord, as we come to you, as we come to your word, as we come to this time of worship where we're bowing down before you. And Lord, I mentioned it even earlier, help us to not take for granted the blessings that you give us, the blessedness that we have. And God, there are times that we feel broken physically. And we are broken physically. But Lord, today help us to understand not only what physical brokenness is, but spiritual brokenness as well. And Lord, help us to experience that in a way that then we're able to be given by you to make a difference in the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are blessed. And I asked you earlier what it was that God had done for you this week, and hopefully all of you thought of at least one thing, because I'm sure God blessed you several times each and every day of this past week. But as we consider the blessings God gives us, it's only a beginning to consider what usually comes to our mind first, and that's physical blessings. I want us to look at something different, and in connection with communion, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Galatians chapter 3, and I'll begin reading this with verse 12. And as I read this, see if you don't find a connection with communion. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it, being the law, says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So we receive a blessing, and it's not just the blessings like we talk about, and not to make light of those. God gives us blessings, whether it's a job, whether it's better health. Those are true blessings, but this is a different type of blessing. Because, you know, there are lots of people who aren't believers who God blesses. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. It's not just the believers that are getting rain today. It's the unbelievers too. But there's a different type of blessing that we're discussing today. And it's a blessing that the scripture says began with Abraham, and that we have because of the price Jesus Christ paid for us. Because you see, we are guilty. And by the law, did you understand the very beginning of that scripture? It said by the law, it's putting the law contrary to faith. In verse 12 it says clearly, the law is not based on faith. On contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. In other words, by the law, if you do it, you pay for it. Jesus changed that. And that's a part of the blessing that we have received, because if you continue to read in verse 14, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. We don't get the promise of the Holy Spirit because we earned it. It's by faith. So the blessing that we've received, the blessing that we're talking about that we got from God today, first, we're released from the curse of the law. And then second, through faith, we receive God's Spirit, God's blessing. And there's been many sermons that I've preached more on that, but I want you to understand and just know that when we're talking about being blessed by God, it's that type of big, full blessing. To just illustrate that a little bit, living as though you're blessed is something we don't do as often as we should. Because, see, we might ask for healing, and we think, you know, God, we're asking for healing. We're believers. We're trying to do what's right, so we're going to ask to be healed. If you ask to be healed and God does it, are you going to ever get sick again? Yes. Because, you know, unless Jesus Christ returns before all of us, that we're going to die. And a lot of that is precipitated by illness of some kind. And so, really, to be blessed by God isn't continually every time we get a sniffle, every time we struggle, just say, God, heal me. There's nothing wrong with asking God to heal you, but the bigger blessing is realize that we have a God with us that takes us through the struggle of the illness. And through that struggle, sometimes there's more to be learned than simply if God healed us. It enables our faith to grow. It enables us to be a different person. We go stronger. We become a different person in the midst of that. That's what it means to live as though we're blessed. Another example would be money, finances, riches, ever how you want to describe it. We can pray that God, we want to be more blessed. We want to not have to skimp and scrape and struggle to make ends meet, and God, just bless me. I know I don't play the lottery, but just bless me. Or maybe I do play the lottery, just one winning ticket, that's all it needs. However we're going to pray, but I tell you, what do you do when you get that and it's gone and then you need something more? Do you just keep coming back? Because that's not the type of blessing. God, I'm not saying God can't do that. God can easily do that. But the blessing that was paid for on the cross was one that we don't have to live by the law, so that in the midst of what's happening, in the midst of what's going on, when we fall short, God enables us to understand how He wants to enrich our lives in a way that's defined by so much more than money. I'm just curious, have any of you ever seen a person with very little who was happier than somebody you knew that had a lot? That's beginning to express the point of what I mean when I say we need to do a better job as living as though we're blessed. Well, that's the blessing part. Now to think about the brokenness, because blessing is connected to brokenness, and Jesus broke the bread before He gave it, because it would have been difficult just to give the loaf of bread to the disciples and say, take it and eat. He broke it for a purpose. Well, there's brokenness to be talked about in our lives today. And the first thing that we would go to, and honestly, as I began preparing this message, the first place I went was to be physically broken. And I studied that, and I looked at that, and I preached on that many, many times. In fact, I could have gone back and pulled another sermon and preached that, but that wasn't what God led me toward today, because I came to understand there's a difference in being physically broken and spiritually broken. Physical brokenness is real, and physical brokenness is something that God addresses and is a part of. But today I want to focus more on being spiritually broken. In Psalm chapter 51, verse 17, David says, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart you will not despise. I believe that spiritual brokenness, more than anything else, is an antidote to human pride. And we look and we can point out people that we just know are prideful. We can look at them the way they act, we know they're prideful, but I'm telling you, there's not a person here today that does not struggle with pride. All of us do, in one way or another. And I think you'll be aware of that in just a moment. I'm going to ask, Hannah and Justin are going to come up, and they're going to share something. This comes from another pastor named David Hino that I ran across, and I think it makes a good point. They're going to be sharing the difference in a person that's prideful and a person that's broken, and I want you to listen very carefully to what they have to say. And I think as they do, you'll come to understand what it means, what the results are when we're spiritually broken. Hannah and Jess.
Proud people carry past rejection.
Broken people are healed from their past.
Proud people are bothered when others fail.
Broken people understand that we are all broken people.
Proud people find faults even when there is no fault.
Broken people live in grace because they have been forgiven much.
Proud people believe they are better than others.
Broken people serve people.
Proud people are stubbornly opinionated.
Broken people know that others are needed to discover the truth.
Proud people demand their rights.
Broken people yield their rights.
Proud people are self-conscious and love public recognition.
Broken people are satisfied with God's recognition.
Broken people are hurt when others are recognized and they are overlooked.
Broken people rejoice when others get credit.
Proud people believe they are gifted, and therefore they are God's gift for the world.
Broken people believe they have no idea what they are doing and that God uses them.
Proud people think they are really smart.
Broken people know God is really smart and that they know very little.
Proud people worry about what others think. Image is everything.
Broken people know that God knows their heart. As God directs, they are transparent to others. No past sin has to be hidden.
Proud people are never wrong and blame others when things go wrong.
Broken people take responsibility when things go wrong. When necessary, they ask for forgiveness.
Proud people, when criticized, attack back.
Broken people, when criticized, are open to truth, take ownership when needed.
Proud people believe they are spiritually mature.
Broken people always need a fresh and constant encounter with God.
Broken people are ashamed when their sins are uncovered and worry about the consequences.
Broken people are genuinely grieved before God, repent over the cause or root, and walk in freedom from the sin.
Proud people do not like it when their physical bodies fail.
Broken people desire healing but also accept broken bodies.
Proud people do not take initiative to be reconciled with past broken relationships.
Broken people want reconciliation and are willing to initiate the first step.
Hopefully that reading caused you to think about your pride, about your brokenness. I actually felt led, I made copies of what Hannah and Justin just read, but the reason I made copies wasn't necessarily that it was so earth-shattering what they read, but we didn't have time to do it this extensively, but every one of the examples they gave is grounded in Scripture. So every one of those things they said, for example, the first one, proud people carry past rejection and broken people are healed from their past, is based on Philippians 3:12. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Every one of those that were shared has a scriptural foundation. And I'm guessing if we were listening, there's at least one, two, or maybe more that God wants to speak to us today. So that's here if you want to pick it up following the service. So we've talked about the fact that we're blessed. And it's not just the blessings we receive in rain or a new job or a little bit more financial security. It's a blessing that was given to us that started with Abraham and has been passed on and is defined by God's Spirit itself that lives in us and makes a difference in the life that we have. We've understood now what it is to be not a prideful person, but a humble person in the midst of the brokenness that we experience. And yes, there's physical brokenness, but there's spiritual brokenness. What does spiritual brokenness look like? Spiritual brokenness, I believe, is defined by us giving up of ourselves completely. And we can't do that just one time. And if you want to really understand more of what that looks like, think about the things that Justin and Hannah just read and were talking about. These are everyday aspects of our lives, and they're things that we give. We as believers so often do a great job at giving God a portion of our life. And sometimes we just give God what maybe we don't think we want to deal with, or we think that's going to be okay, but we hold on to the stuff that really needs to be taken care of now, because God might not do it in the time or in the way it really needs to be done, so we're going to take care of it. That's not what it means to be fully broken spiritually. To be broken spiritually means to be broken to the sense that we allow God to control our lives. I'm going to share something with you I hadn't planned to. Our interns came in this morning. I meet with our interns at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. And interns, when I met with them last week, three of them came and they asked me, they said, "Greg, we know that we're working with the children in doing the Christmas musical, and we've made a commitment here to Woodland, and we're going to live up that to that commitment to its full. But we also want you to know we've been presented with an opportunity to go on a mission trip. And we're really excited." It's a mission trip to Ecuador, right? And so they had this opportunity, and they were telling me about it, obviously excited about it. And I said, "You know, that is exciting." And they said, "It doesn't mean we aren't going to be involved in working with the children. We'll still do that. It means we might not be here as much." And I said, "That's okay." I had conversations with Matt and with Matt and with Brian and Jessica, and we were going to figure out how to work together and take care of that. And it felt good, and we were able to affirm them in that. Well, then today, interns came back, and we met again, and they said, "Well, we need to talk to you about something, Greg. We're not going on the mission trip." I did about the same thing you all just did. That wasn't what you expected me to say. That wasn't what I expected them to say either. I've been praying for them about this mission trip I thought they were going on. I had excitement for that. But you know what they told me? They said, "Greg, as we've really thought about it and prayed about it," one of them said, "You know, I've just got so many responsibilities right now. It was another thing I was putting on my plate, and it would have meant that I wouldn't have been doing what I had committed to do here in the way I think God wants me to, in my job, my new job, in the way that I think God wants me to, or at school in the way I think God wants me to." Now, I think Isabella has enough of a relationship with God that if God had wanted her to, she could have understood God giving her strength to be able to do all of those things. But she was able to have the wisdom and spiritual maturity to understand just maybe she was embracing something God wasn't calling her to do. And then for Hannah, she said, "You know what? I was excited about the mission trip, but I realized it was something I was wanting to do just for that reason, because I was excited about it, not because I was called to it." And she understood that there was a difference. So they were willing to allow God to be the ones that were leading them step by step in things. And how can you say that God isn't leading me to go on a mission trip? Isn't that what God does for every person that's ever been created? Sometimes as believers, that's what we preach. And so then we confuse people. But God doesn't lead every single person to go on a mission trip, particularly at a specific time. We need to pay attention to what God calls us to do each day. And that's what it means to give of ourselves. That's what it means to live in a broken spirit. We can't live that way unless we give of ourselves. It's only when we are spiritually broken we can really give of ourselves to be used by God. But that's not the end of the sentence. The other rest of it is, and when we're spiritually broken, we cannot help but to give ourselves to be used by God. I'm going to read that again. I want you to hear it. It's only when we are spiritually broken we can really give ourselves to be used by God. And when we are spiritually broken, we cannot help but to give ourselves to be used by God. Where are you today? Our deacons are going to come forward and we're going to have our communion in just a moment. But the ultimate brokenness when we think of life is often death. So if you're broken to the point of no return, that would be death. And I'm going to suggest today that to be truly broken, what we have to do is die to self. We have a fleshly body with fleshly yearnings that each day we're distracted by where it is God wants us to go, who God wants to be us to be, how God wants us to live. And so we have to make that commitment. We have to die to self every single day. Have you done that today? Did you do it yesterday? Are you willing to do it tomorrow? Because if you don't, Satan takes a hold of that. Today, we're going to come to the table, to the communion table. And I want us to understand the blessing that's a part of communion today. The blessing that frees us from the curse of the law. I want us to understand the brokenness of the table today. The brokenness that as Jesus broke the bread, He knew every physical broken experience you were going to have in your life. And He knows the hurt and the pain and the tears. But He knows the healing for that physical brokenness is spiritual brokenness. So that He can be a part of bringing true healing. And that leads to giving. It's only then that we can receive fully what God desires to give us and then turn around and in return give that back in a way that it grows the kingdom. So I ask that we embrace that today as we come to the Lord's table.